And with the mitzvah of Shabbos, Sheish es yomim te'ase melacha, v'yom ha'shvi'i lechem kodesh, Shabbat, Shabbaton l'Hashem. Here we see that we're told about Shabbos. Isn't that the first time we're told about Shabbos? I mean, we know Shabbos from in Parshas Bereishis, in Parshas Yisro. We know it, and we see it in Parshas Mishpatim. We see Shabbos in Parshas Kisisa last week. Yesterday we read about Parshas. Here we have Shabbos again. The Torah begins. Parsha begins by talking to us about Shabbos. I'd like to discuss with you today Shabbos and also fill in on all these other parshas that when we did not speak about Shabbos. And essentially, Shabbos is an unbelievable invention. An incredible invention. That God created and gave to the Jewish people. Let's begin with a story. Lemaise, bottom line, what do you need to know coming out of this class?
I love
it. Jews are party animals. That's what you need to know. Party animals. That's what you need. That's the bottom line. That's what we're talking about today. The Jewish people they party hard all the time. That's right. I know you can't believe it. It's the truth. Huge party animals. Let's begin with this story. Everybody knows we're coming up to Purim in a couple of weeks. We read the story and commemorate the event of how Haman wanted to kill the Jewish people. Why did Haman want to annihilate, to commit an act of genocide against an entire nation? What is that? What is the reason for that? Right? He's an anti-Semite. Well, that's the bottom line. He's a Amalek, he's an anti-Semite. But he can't just do it himself. He has to sell a plan to Achashverosh. So what did he say to him? Is it every Gemara that you have learned in Megillah the Gemara tells the story. What does Haman present? How did that conversation go? What did he say to Achashverosh? He said, Achashverosh, look, we got to just wipe out and murder an entire nation. He says, murder an entire nation? For what reason? Oh, these Jews are terrible. What? Just tell me why. What did they do wrong? Oh, sheepie. The Jews are the laziest, most unindustrious citizens in your entire, kingdom. What do you mean? He goes, yeah, they never work. They're always busy partying. He says, how do you understand? He goes, I'll tell you. I go to Mr. Jew. I say, Mr. Jew, I want to do some business with you. Let's do some business. He goes, sure, okay. So let's meet tomorrow. He goes, tomorrow? I can't meet you tomorrow. He says, why not? He goes, tomorrow. I have a holiday. A holiday? He says, yeah, tomorrow's a holiday. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, fine. So you know what? In a week's time. And the Jew says, I'd love to. I have a problem. That day I have a holiday. In a week's time, you also have a holiday? He goes, yeah. Fine. So how about six days from now? At the end of next week. Says, I'll tell you the truth. That's Friday. I'd love to do it, but I have to prepare. I can't work that day. I have to prepare. Prepare for what? He goes, I have a holiday. The next day. He goes, what? He goes, yeah, I have a holiday.
Every day's a holiday. Every
7 days. He goes, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Fine, so we'll meet midweek. So the Jew says, look, I'll tell you the truth. I'd love to meet you midweek, but I have a problem. I can't make it. Says, why can't you make it? I have a holiday. You have a holiday? He goes, yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah. Dang, okay, fine. So we'll meet the next day. Good idea. I'd love to, I can't do it. Why? He goes, holiday. Holiday, it's Rosh Hashanah. He goes, fine. So, we'll meet the weekend. He goes, I can't make it. What's the problem? Holiday. He goes, fine, so we'll meet the middle of next week, all right? He goes, I'd love to do it. I can't. He goes, what's the problem? He goes, holiday? Holiday? He goes, yeah, it's Yom Kippur. I'm like, fine, so we'll meet the end of the week. Can't do it. He goes, what? I'm busy. Holiday. Shabbat? He goes, dang. So we'll meet midweek the next week. I'll tell you the truth. I'd love to. I I can't make it. He goes, what's the problem?
You got a holiday.
I have a holiday.
And you
asked. Yeah? He goes, it's going to be a holiday of Sukkot. He goes, fine, so the weekend. Can't do it. Holiday. Midweek. Next week. I can't do it. I have a holiday. It's Simchat Torah. The guy's angry. The guy's mad. You understand? The Gentile's ready to kill the guy. He goes, boy, I'll have that in 6 freaking months. Can you meet that? The guy, Jew, says, let me look at my calendar. 6 months. I'd love to. I just can't do it. Then he goes, what's the problem? He goes,
they could have spent the whole time arguing
Passover.
In the meeting.
Passover. Passover. I can't make it of a holiday. Right? So he's like, look, the Jews, they never work. They're just busy partying all day and all night. They're not worth anything. And what I love most about that story is, now because of that, because of Haman, the joke's on him. Because of Haman, now we even have another holiday. Ha ha ha! It's called Purim. All right? We got him good. So what do you see here? You see that the way the Gentiles proceed with the Jewish people, they're having too much fun. They're having too much fun. They're partying all the time. Party! All the time. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing all day. This concept of the Shabbat being a party, the holiday of, which is of course the most common Jewish party, happens every 7 days. This is, like I said earlier, is an amazing invention. See, let me ask you a question. Anyone here go to elementary school or high school by any chance?
Maybe.
Yeah? So hopefully you'll know something about this, right? I was asking you, what is the scientific significance of the day? What's a day in science? 24 hours. What is the significance of a 24-hour period? In the world of earth science, you know,
the cycle of the sun.
What?
The sun, the moon.
Anybody, high school, elementary school, sixth grade, seventh grade? You have sixth grade in Africa? Then you call it grade six? What happens during the day? Okay? We'll leave it in this room, okay? That is the time it takes for the earth to turn on its axis, for the earth to make one revolution. Yeah. Okay, that's called the day. All right, I'll give you another chance. What about a year, Mr. Smart Dude? What's the significance of a year?
Sun going around.
The what?
The moon completes
the cycle. The what?
The sun goes around the
earth. What? That is the time that it takes the earth to revolve
around the sun.
Okay? That is the astronomical reality, the significance of a year. And what is the astronomical significance of a month, my dear friends?
All the planets revolve around the earth.
Of a month?
The moon. The moon moves twice around the sun.
That is the time it takes for this moon to turn in orbit, right? To make a revolution around the earth. Okay? So that's what we have it. That's a month, right? And that's why it's called a month. It's really a moon, right? You understand that? A month is a moon. We just shortened it, right? Okay, that's what it is. About the moon moving around. Okay? That's the truth. That's really what it comes from. So now, what about... guys, it's too much talking here. Too much talking. What about... what is the astronomical reality of the week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I think the answer is nothing.
The answer is, right? Just what it says in the Bible on page 2. Right? It has no astronomical reality. Right? It's what God invented this idea, this concept, the construct of a week, right? As a section of time. He creates the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, party! He celebrates, and that's what Shabbat is. That's what Shabbos is. Okay? And this idea has become so popular. He gave it to the Jewish people, this idea. Right? He gave this way of counting time to the Jewish people. But guess what? It's gone viral. The whole world community has accepted and moved forward utilizing this system, this framework of time called the week. Amazing. It doesn't make any sense, right? There's no reason why they would do that, other than the fact that rack up one more idea that, you know, that the Jews are a light to the nations. One more idea where the world copies and imitates the Jewish people. What do they say? Imitation is the best form of flattery. Here's an idea, here's something that God gave the Jewish people. The whole world is doing this concept of the week and the weekend. Not only that, you probably have all heard of the concept of a sabbatical. You know about the sabbatical? What's a sabbatical?
Making a trip
away. After
6 years of work. After 6 years of work in a university, right? So these professors, they have a sabbatical. What sabbatical? Not a sabbatical. Let's call it like it is, right? That's a sabbatical. That's what it says in the Torah. That for 7 years you should work, and then 6 years you should work, and the 7th year, Shabbat. That's what it's called. That's what it is, right? The whole world has come to recognize and understand and copy this way of living. Okay? Here's a Jewish teaching introduced by God to the Jewish people. What are we saying? What are we looking at here? We're looking at a party every 7 days. Okay? Wow. Wow. That's serious. Okay? Which means that by the time you reach 70 years old, you've spent 10 years of your life, right? Straight partying, at least, right? It's just Shabbat alone. Plenty of other days, right? Count them all up. Count them all. You know how many parties? You know how many holidays are on the Jewish calendar? You just have to count them up. There's many more than, right? There's many more than just 52, right? Every year. Amazing. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So Shabbat is a party. That's what we've established so far. Okay. So now let's move forward. What is this party? I mean, what's the significance? Now I said, okay, I've shown you, and the Gentiles are jealous. You understand that? All other religions, they try to copy us, you know. Oh, we're also having a party. What is it? Thanksgiving. Everyone's going to get together. It happens once a year, you know. Right? It's like sad. It's like, come on, Nebuch. You know, like, come on, dude. Once a year, you can have a big party, you know, with some solid food. Besides that, it's McDonald's for you, dude, you know? Right? I mean, it's not the Gentiles, they're trying desperately to, you know, they also want to have a cool religion, you know? So they have this kind of holiday, they try to create this kind of thing and that kind of thing. They're just taken, lifted straight up from Judaism, straight out of the Bible. They're just trying to, you know, copy the ideas of the Torah. How about a little Jewish pride, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, every dude who keeps a week, you ask him where he got it from. Sucker fool. Who do you think you are here? A little recognition of the significance and the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the success of the Torah. Okay, so what is this party? Now that we established we're celebrating the party, what is the party? What for? Well, guess what? It's not our party. It's really Hashem's party. That's it. That's what it is. You want to know what Shabbos is? It's Hashem's party. Hashem throws a party. That's what Shabbos is. And it just so happens that there's a very short guest list. Right? It's by personal, private invitation only. And who's invited? Only the Jewish people. That's it. That's who's invited by personal invitation. We are invited to God's party. Look at Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. Right? Hashem creates the world, and he makes a party. Right? And it says Hashem says about himself, Vayishbos v'yom hashvi, Vayivarech Elokim b'yom hashvi, Vayikadesh. Right? Hashem, he throws a party. And we are the people who are invited. Now the Gemara learns very real and very practical things from this. Right? You ever been to a wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah? So if it didn't happen that you're leaving the wedding, you know, and the Baal Simcha, the guy who made the wedding, is standing there at the door and say, you had 4 drinks, that'll be $85, please. Right? And plus a portion, so that's a $115, please. Come on, not cool, not classy. What do you mean? You make the party, you pay. That's how it goes. Says the Gemara, Beitza Tezayin. Says the Gemara, look, Hashem makes the party, Hashem pays. Hashem's the guest of honor. You just got invited. You got invited to Hashem's party that he's throwing. Okay? So that's why it's an all expenses paid party. And what's on the menu? Ooh, it's expensive. It's expensive. We're talking about steak and booze. Ladies and gents, okay, grape juice is for children. You like that? Okay. So that's what it's, that it's a serious party. Costs money. Right? We're really celebrating. Right? And it's a 3 or 4 course meal. It's serious, right? Like I said, the likes of which the Gentiles will only have maybe on Thanksgiving. And they make a huge deal. They start planning it like months in advance. You know, you have to get your menus ready. You know, it's like, dude, we do that every weekend. That's nothing, right? So this is God's party. And could you imagine God is coming to your party? God's coming to your party. You're not gonna, you know, you're not making a, you know, you're not serving eggs. Right, you're making a serious situation. You're gonna spend money. No worries. It's like when the dad says to the billionaire dad says to the kid, "Listen, I want you to spend money. You know, we're having dinner. Do me a favor, make us a dinner, and I'll take care of it. You know, I'll pay the bill." So the guy goes out. He gets a serious cut of steak. Right, he works hard. He's gonna cook up something huge. Okay, his dad's gonna take care of it. That's the halacha of Shabbos. Right, that the Gemara promises. Right, we sing in the Zbiro. So ulavu alai banai, borrow from me, I'll pay for it. Ulavu lashon halva. You know that song? Shabbos Yom Hashem. Should I sing it for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I can sing it. Okay.
You don't know it.
You should know it. I'm sure you've heard ulavu alai banai. Oh no, whatever. Shabbos Yom Hashem. Hashem says, you borrow money from me. It's on me. I'll take care. Okay. I'll take care of it, right? So I know people, and tell me if you've met people like this, who actually go out and they get a silver goblet to drink out of on Shabbat. A silver goblet. Have you ever, raise your hand if you've ever seen someone drink out of a silver goblet on Shabbat? Yeah, we do it every week. Yeah, I'm sure. And we're talking about, I'm not a rich man. We're talking about people who are not rich people. People not rich people. I'm certainly not a rich man. One goblet of numerous silver goblets. In fact, I know of someone who has a golden goblet he drinks out of. Now tell me about your Gentile friends and neighbors. Have you ever seen them sit down to a meal and drink out of a silver goblet? Yeah, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. That's because their meal is not that all significant, you know, not that all important, and they're not partying like we party hard, man. We party right, okay? It's serious. So now, right? And by the way, here's what the Gemara tells us. Famously, the Gemara tells the beautiful story that you might have heard as a child, but you didn't necessarily internalize and recognize what the Gemara is telling you. Right, about Yosef Mokir Shabbos. What's the story? That this guy, this Gentile, has a, you know, goes to a stargazer and he tells him, "Look, you're gonna lose all your money." And you know, you understand, in those days, you know, stargazers actually, you know, worked. You know, they actually knew what they were doing. Today, you know, you walk in Los Angeles, you know, every two blocks, every couple of stores in some of those blocks, there's like these palm readers, they're all just a bunch of con artists, right? But in those days, they actually were able to read the stars. He goes, "Oh, I'm telling you, lose your money." "Why? Lose my money? No way, no way, no way, no way. I'm not doing it," right? So this guy was a wealthy Gentile, wealthy guy. He sold all his properties and he buys, puts all his money together and he buys this huge, massive, expensive diamond, and he goes to a tailor and he has it sewn into his hat. And he wears the hat all day, every day. Right? So his money is not going anywhere, that's for sure. And nobody's going to know to take his hat because it's just a hat. Right? So his money is safe. Except one day he's walking across a bridge, and it's a very windy day, and what happens? His hat goes, right, and it falls into the river underneath, and he's beside himself, he's going crazy, and that's it, it's gone, right? And then the camera, as it were, there were no cameras in the Talmud days, but the camera, as it were, in the Talmud, pans across to the marketplace, and the way it works to work in the marketplace was, everybody knew that the Jews have their holiday on the week's end, and they buy all kinds of delicacies on Friday. Okay? So, fine, people would pay, buy this. There was a guy who was, he was crazy about this Gemara, crazy about this idea that God, it's God's party, and all expenses paid, no worries. It's God's a guest of honor, it's not about me. Whatever he says, I'll do the best I can, and God will pay me back. So, one day, it was a late Friday, and the boats come in, the fishing boats, and they come in with the, they have a massive, mega catch, huge fish. And they bring it to the marketplace, and they're like, listen, everyone's already shopped for Shabbos, no one's around. No one left to buy this one. Come on, everyone already got what they got. And the Gentile says, wait a second. There's this dude, Yosef. He's like this crazy Jew. He'll buy anything big, he'll buy it. You know, you bring it to him, he'll pay for it. Right? So they go to the, they find this, call this guy Yosef. They say, hey, you want to buy a giant? He goes, let me see. Massive fish. Ooh, nice. Chvod Shabbat, I'll do it. He goes, how much does it cost? You know, just to make it, you know, our terms. How much does it cost? $1,000. $1,000? No problem. He says, okay, Chvod Shabbat. The king is coming here. How's he get the biggest fish you can get? I'll pay for it. No problem. He pays $1,000, gets home, rushes home to cook the fish, opens the fish, and of course, what's inside? A diamond worth $1,000,000, right? Right? Says the Gemara, Kibiyachal, Hashem says, you lend money to Shabbos, don't worry. Shabbos will pay you back. I'll pay you back. Right? If you really care about my honor, you do it for me. Right? So that's the way we celebrate Shabbos. It's Hashem's holiday. Hashem is, like I say, the guest of honor. And we celebrate accordingly. So now the question becomes, just simply, we're going very simple today. So what's the celebration about? What's God throwing this big party for? Over what? Well, we read it yesterday. It says it in the Torah, why? Right? It's a celebration over the beautiful world. It's a wonderful world!
What a wonderful world!
There it is! Okay? God creates this world in 6 days. Kishesh es yomim asa Hashem. Asa Shemayim v'aretz v'yom shishas v'nefash. Right? On the seventh day, God stands back and says, wow, what a wonderful world. Look at the creation story. Chapter 1 of Genesis. Paragraph after paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. God says, whoa! Vayar Hashem Elokim, right? Vayar Elokim Kitov. Vayar Elokim Kitov. Again and again and again. Wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. God marvels, as it were, so to speak, about His creation. It's a beautiful world. And then comes Shabbos at the end of Perek, the last pasuk in Perek Aleph, for those who have a stoner. Okay, chapter 1, verse 31. There it says, right? Vayar Elohim es kol asher asa v'hine tomod. Vayere v'yivoker yom hashishi. God saw that everything was very good. The world is very, very good. The world is very beautiful. And you know what? When you walk outside on Shabbos morning and you're finally not in a rush, you're finally just totally relaxed, and you walk outside, right? And you walk slow, right? Like the halacha is on Shabbos. You're supposed to walk slow. It's a halacha on Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says. You're not supposed to walk fast, right? You walk slow and you just take a deep breath, and you watch the sunset or the sunrise, right? And you check out you smell the flowers and look at the trees and enjoy the grass. You say, ah, take a deep breath. You say, ah, what a beautiful day. You know what that is? When you say that, when you do that, that is just about the most spiritual thing you can do. Why do I say that? because one of my favorite mitzvahs in the Torah. V'halach the bitrachov, be as God is, imitat yodei, be cut. Follow and copy after God, go in God's footsteps. That's what God says. God says, wow, this is beautiful. Look at this, look at those clouds. Beautiful. Look at that sky, gorgeous. Look at those dandelions, right? Look at that water, whatever it is. It's beautiful. What a beautiful world. That's what God does. And you know what? We barely ever do that. Except when it's mandated by us on Shabbos to stop. Just to appreciate and take a look. Take a look and check out the world. And that's what God is celebrating. I kid you not. I'm not saying something deep. To the contrary, I'm saying something very simple. That's what it says straight up in the Torah. What is God celebrating? God is celebrating the beautiful world that He created. And what is our job as guests to His party on Shabbos? What are we invited to celebrate? The same thing. To celebrate the fact that Hashem has created a beautiful world. Hashem has given us a beautiful world. What are we busy with all 6 days of the week? Yeah, we're kind of like being like God also. Working, trying. What don't we have, right? What don't we have? We're thinking about, oh, we need this. We have to make a living. You know what? When do you live? All day. All day, every day. We're making a living. Okay, fine. So now you make, so live. So stop making a living. Come Shabbos and says, okay, so now we're going to live. Now actually enjoy what you do have instead of being hyper-focused on what we don't have. Always busy with what we don't have. Always. And what's that to do? I'm like, how you doing today? He's like, oh, I'm doing much better than a one-legged man in a foot brace. I love it. Been thinking about it ever since. Stop. We all of us naturally can gravitate towards the things that we don't have. What about celebrating the things that we do have? And that's what Shabbos is. That's exactly what Shabbos is. You know, I always like to say that, you know, Bill Gates and I are very similar. I always like to say, you know, to think about that, to make mention of that. Billy and I, we're all just the same, right? He and I have so much in common, right? And what you want to boil it down to, you know, to our similarities? I'll just give you some of the basics, right? He and I both have plenty of things, and he and I both don't have plenty of things. There are plenty of things that I have, right? And there are plenty of things that I don't have. And Bill Gates also has tons of things. There's tons of things he has, and there's tons of things he doesn't have. I have some things that he doesn't have, right? He has some things that I don't have. You know, we're just the same, he and I. For example, what does Bill Gates have that I don't have? Right? He has hair. The guy has hair. Lucky dude. Okay, so I don't have hair. Okay, so listen, what can I do, you know? He has hair, I don't have hair. Okay! Billy Gates, you know, okay, I'm not gonna be just... Fine, so let him celebrate what he has, you know? I have plenty of things he doesn't have. I got plenty of things that Bill Gates only wishes he had. You know, I got 8 kids. Bill Gates doesn't have 8 kids. I have 8 siblings. Bill Gates doesn't have 8 siblings. No way. I have a whole community of friends in Bet Shemesh. He doesn't know, God doesn't know a soul in Bet Shemesh. Yeah. Right? And you know what? And the list goes on and on. There's so many things. I have Torah. He doesn't have Torah. You know? I have Shabbos. He doesn't have Shabbos. I have tons of things the guy doesn't have. Tons. You know what? You're laughing. It's the truth. He and I are just the same. But I got news for you. Billy and I, we both have a choice. We both have a choice. Yeah, we'd be very good friends. Exactly. Tell him to come meet me. Right? He and I both have a choice to make. And that is, are we going to be endlessly focused on what we don't have? Or focused on what we do have? And here's the news, just a fact, the straight fact, right? Both of us, whichever of us, or you know, whoever of us decide to focus on to stop and focus on what we do have, we'll be happy. And if we don't stop to focus on what we do have, we just keep on the perpetual cycle of endless focus on trying to get what we do not have, so we're not going to be happy. And this is the gift of Shabbos. The Gemara tells us Shabbos Daf Yud. Hashem said, I'm going to give a gift to the Jewish people. It's called Shabbos. There is nothing, there is no mitzvah in the Torah that Hashem calls it a gift. Right? There are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs. But there's one mitzvah that Hashem says, this is a gift. I'm giving a gift to the Jewish people. It's called Shabbos. And you know what? It truly is a gift. It's the gift, it really is. Ultimately, it's the gift of happiness. To stop and just appreciate what we do have. So therefore, and now you'll understand, what is it that we do and how do we celebrate Shabbat? Very simple. We try to make a list of all the pleasures in creation and we take a nosh of all of them over Shabbos. That's what we do. That's right. All different types of delicacies, all the things that God made in this world. There's different types of meats, different types of foods, things that, you know, different types of fruits we indulge in, right? Different types of grains, all different types of drinks and sodas and wines, right? All the different things that Hashem created. Stop. Take a look. Go look at the pleasures that God created in this world, and we try to have as many as we can of them. It's like a taste testing situation, right? I'm just gonna enjoy it all. Try to enjoy all of the things that God, all the gifts that God gave us in this world. And savor it. Savor it. Just enjoy it. Right? What about the gift of family? When was the last time you sat down with your family, just a schmooze? You never saw it. You know, I tell you, you don't appreciate it. You have Shabbos. You guys have, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have Shabbos. You don't realize. When was the last time you spoke to your brother? I don't know. You know, ask a guy. Or for Thanksgiving, once a year, that, you know, maybe they can get together. Right? That's how it goes. You'd be surprised, I'm telling you. When was the last time you took a walk, you know, with your mom? When? When was the last time you took a walk with your wife or took a walk with your daughter? You sat down on the couch and read a book to your child? When does it happen? When was the last time you watched a sunset with someone you love? When? When was the last time? I asked you that question. When was the last time? You celebrate Shabbat, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. You actually stop your force. You stop and say, whoa, that's really beautiful. When's the last time you sang songs with people you love? When? It doesn't happen. I mean it. It doesn't. You take it for granted. It's the beauty of actually experiencing love. It's experiencing life, living, actually living instead of, like I say, making a living.
So where are you putting that?
Right. That's it. You're just actually enjoying the gifts that God blessed you with. So there's a pasuk in the Ten Commandments where Hashem says, "Zochar es yom haShabbos lekadsho, sheishes yamim tasim alav." I'm sorry. Sheishes yama. Start again. Sheishes yamim tavo. Sorry. Ve'asisa kol melachtecha. This is one of my favorite Rashi's in the Torah. Ve'asisa kol melachtecha, says Rashi, shetehei melachtecha asuya. It's an amazing imagery, an amazing charge, an amazing commandment that God gives us. The asisa, if you translate the word, means all your work is finished. But what do you mean all my work is finished? It's not. I'm a building, you know, I'm a building project manager, right? I got a $10 million building going up, you know. It's a 7-year project, you know, or a 5-year project, and I got foremen and you know, concrete people and cement people and steel workers and offices and back offices and trucks and cranes. And guess what? You do have all those things and all the worries and mortgages and things you worry. It's all true. Guess what? Comes sunset on Friday. And all those things that are in the project, they're actually all accelerated at lightning speed. They're all accelerated, you know, 4 years in advance, and they're finished. Your building is built. When at sundown on Friday, your building is actually built. That is, if you want to be an Orthodox Jew, that's what the Torah, that's the command that Hashem says in the Torah. All the things you're longing, oh yeah, I'm in medical school for the next 8 years. No, you're not. You graduated medical school. You know? Oh, I'm like, no, you didn't. It's finished. All the things you need, you're worried about, you're stressed about, your anxieties, you're what? Not on Shabbat. No. On Shabbat, what do you mean? It says, all your work is actually finished. You have you owe $100,000 in student loans? Maybe on Thursday you did. You know, Mazel Tov, congratulations. Today you don't. And what happens after Saturday, after Abdullah? Oh, Saturday night all comes back. Okay. But you know what? No, fine, okay. That's why we gotta smell spices, you know. I told you, I don't do drugs, but if I did, you know, if I did, it's for sure be Saturday night. That's what we do drugs on Saturday night. We smell but something. You need this something. It's a rough world coming back on your shoulders, coming back to the real world on Saturday night. But guess what? For those 24 hours, I swear your loans are paid. You own nothing in the bank. All the work you ever needed is finished. That's how it goes. That's Judaism for you. Wow. You know, there's actually a billionaire when I grew up in my synagogue in New York. Actual real billionaire. A guy's super loaded. A billionaire. But you know what? As rich as this guy is, on Friday night, we both stroll into shul, we're just the same. We actually have the exact same amount of money in our pocket. He and I. That's right. For one day a week, we have the same amount of money. That's it. We own exactly the same, right? We're both good. And you know, it's the truth. It's the truth. We're both the same, right? Look, he's got a bed to sleep on. I got a bed to sleep on. So what? He has enough money for 8 million beds. Very nice. How many beds does he need to sleep? How many beds does he sleep in one night? Tell me. He sleeps in one bed. That's it. That's all he needs. You know, he has what he needs, and I have what I need. We're all just the same. Billy Gates and I. Right? Except that he's not allowed to keep Shabbos, and I do. He doesn't have to. I'm much luckier than he is. Much luckier. Right? Because I'm the only one invited to God's party. He's not invited. Right? Yeah. So on Shabbos, it's actually a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to have anxiety on Shabbos. You're not allowed to have worry. You're not allowed to discuss business. Your business doesn't exist. What do you mean? What business? It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to talk about business on Shabbos. It's a halacha in the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to talk about your portfolio and I'm doing this. What are you talking about? You don't have a business. What business? You're a millionaire. Everything you wanted, you have. What are you doing? Right? This is God's party. Do you believe that? Is God rich enough to pay for everything? He is. So leave it alone. Stop worrying. You're not allowed to worry on Shabbos. Truth. You're not allowed to have anxiety on Shabbos. Just enjoy. You're a guest. Drink out of your silver goblet. Eat the great food. Kick back. Relax. Enjoy the world. And life is beautiful. Enjoy the gifts that God gives. I want to share with you something amazing. Let's take this a little deeper. We read yesterday a pasuk that we say every Shabbos in Kiddush in Shabbos morning. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. Lasos es ha-Shabbos l'daris en b'sana. I'd like to look at two words in that pasuk with you briefly. Number one, Vishamru. Number two, Lasos. And the following remarks for the next few moments are not my own. They belong to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Unbelievable remarks of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Truly inspiring. The first is the less of a Chiddush. What does it mean, Vishamru? Translate the word Vishamru. Translate that. Right? Guarded, right? You want to say shomer, to guard, right? Okay, I accept that. It is a true translation. But if you look in the Torah, you will see numerous times the word shomer means something else. It doesn't mean to guard. It means, anybody? To wait for. Aviv Shamar is Hadavar in Parsha, the beginning of Parsha's Vayeshev. Right? Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem. Parsha's Bo, Perikid Beis. Right? The word Shomer means he was, right? Yaakov Avinu heard the dreams of Yosef and he was waiting for the dreams to come true. V'aviv Shamar is Hadavar. Shomer means to wait, right? So V'shamu Bnei Yisrael Atzei Shabbos, this is a, don't you want to be a millionaire? Yeah, you can. What's that? Who wants to be a millionaire, right? So guess what? You are a millionaire. It comes Friday night sunset, you're a millionaire, right? We wait for Shabbos. We wait for the guest, the gift of Shabbos. The guest being God of Shabbos, right? So we wait for Shabbos. Anyone who's you really want to live it up? We wait for Shabbos, right? So it's not just that we keep Shabbos. We celebrate Shabbos and we long for Shabbos. That's why, he doesn't say this, but it's an important observation. In Judaism, the names of the days have no names. Did you know that? Right? You two saying where the streets have no name? The Bible saying where the days have no name. There are no names in the Torah for the days of the week. Day one, Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos Kodesh, Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos Kodesh, Shlishi, etc. It's only one day that actually has a name. Shabbos. Shabbos is a day, has a name. That's the main day. That's what we're counting up towards, right? That's what we're waiting for and longing for all week long. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. Am Yisrael waits and longs and anticipates Shabbos. Then the Aruch Chaim says, and he says it a couple of times, a very long essay in yesterday's parasha, very long, and he says it here and there, in between the lines, a few places. Lasos es ha-Shabbos. What does it mean to make the Shabbos? To create the Shabbos? Doesn't Hashem create the Shabbos? Come on, look. Look at the Torah, we just said it. Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Yisro, the Ten Commandments. Hashem made the Shabbos. What are you talking about? Am Yisro makes the Shabbos? Listen to this. The Gemara tells us that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Me'ein Olam Haba. What does that mean? Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. It's a little piece of the world to come. In fact, let me digress for a moment to share with you a beautiful medrash. Hashem says to Am Yisrael, guys, I want to give you the Torah, right? And Har Sinai, he's talking to everyone. He goes, I want to give you the Torah. They say, listen, what are we going to get? Oh, I promise you, you know, Olam Haba. I promise you Olam Haba. So the Jewish people say, Olam Haba, how do we know that's good? You know, how do we know that's good? I mean, how do we know, you know, maybe you can give us a little sample to show us that it's really, to show us how good it is, right? Right? There's the old Jew, right? The Jew is always a good businessman, you know. You get something for nothing, you know. A free sample, why not? Okay. So Hashem says, okay, fine. Hashem's not upset, there's no problem. You want a sample of Olam Haba? No problem. I'll give you the gift of Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's actually a taste of the actual world to come. Amazing. Okay? So, it's actually a piece of heaven on earth. You're actually living next world in this world. You can live next world in this world. So, says the Aruch Chaim, there's one caveat. We think that the paradise, the next world, right, is like unbelievable and it's a spiritual nirvana, right? It's this it's a transcendental moment of experience, you know, pure holiness and esoteric godliness, right? Guess what? If this world is a taste of the world to come, they need to mirror each other. They need to mirror each other. After all, this is a microcosm of the next world. Says the Aruch Chaim, "V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos la'asos es haShabbos." You know what the next world looks like? You know what the bliss and perfect pleasure of the next world looks like? It looks like the way you celebrate Shabbos in this world. The Gemara calls, right, the next world, Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Olam Haba is called Shabbos. This world is just a taste of Shabbos. But if you live your Shabbos as if, whatever it looks like, so that's bad news for you in the next world, because your Shabbos in this world mirrors the next world. Isn't that what the Gemara says? That this world is made of Olam Haba. It's a taste of the next world. So you actually create. You create your Yom Shekulo Shabbos. You create the way your reward in Olam Haba looks. Wow. Scary. It has a scary downside to it. In other words, on the one hand, it's amazing. Look at that. Pure joy, bliss, serenity, connectivity to God, right? Faith in God, spending time of spiritual bliss and pure love and acceptance, and life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. But if you refuse to live that way, you for whatever reason, right? You get drawn into living with the same anxiety and worry and business and rushing to work and, right, rushing to do all the things you always do that are so heavy. Well then, lasso says HaShabbos, we actually create, you create your Shabbos in the next world. That's scary. That's scary. In fact, the Gemara famously, incredibly tells us that the Chazal, the Midrashim, tell us that the fires of Gehenim grind to a halt on Shabbos. Did you know that? They don't run, the fires, fire them down, Satan. You know? That's it, you know. Friday, 5:37, that's it. You call it quits, right? And that's the reason why we are ma'arich, we are mosif to Shabbos. We try to extend Shabbos on both ends. The Mishnah Berurah writes about it. Chazal talk about it. We extend Shabbos. Why do you extend Shabbos? We extend Shabbos because that's a gift. When you extend Shabbos and keep Shabbos longer, you're actually doing a great kindness to your loved ones who are in their next, who are, you know where they might be. Right? Look, everyone makes sins sometimes. That's how it goes. You make a mistake, and people are, if a guy might end up in Gehenna. So you know what we do? We extend Shabbos as a gift. As a gift to the people who are in Gehenna. Right? That's why some people keep, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, 72 minutes, and they sing Mizmorim. You ever see that? They sing LeDavid Baruch Hashem. It's a terrible song, But if people ever see it, people, they sing these different melodies before Marv. What's the point? They're trying to just do any excuse, it's like when you're bottling in class, and you want to get you think the Rebbe's dumb, and you're like, you want to try to continue this, to continue the tangent. Oh, but Rabbi, how does that connect to this and that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. You just don't want to go back to learning. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, you want recess to continue. You don't want to end up, right? So that's what we do. We sing these random, it's like ADD things, nothing to do with anything. You start singing a song. Dude, we came here for Maariv, not for a song. Before Baruch Hu, we want to just extend and do whatever we can to extend Shabbos, even two more minutes. And then if you ever hear people who keep Shabbos long and they say, Urachum, sometimes you will hear the following. Next time, pay attention. And they go, Buhu Urachum. You ever hear that? Buhu Urachum. You know, guys don't do that on Sunday. Only on Motzei Shabbos. We try to show it. We want to extend Shabbos as long as we can. First, because we want to be close to God, but also as a kindness to the people. But guess what the Zohar says? And by the way, I have to tell you, the Gemara says an amazing story. Chazal, the amazing story. With Rabbi Akiva and someone who's I forget who it was, maybe Turnus Rufus. He didn't believe in God, and he's I forget, I have to look up the Medrash. I remember the exact details. But he says to Akira, Akiva, come on, you're an idiot. You know, what do you got? Believe in God. And you don't work one day a week. That's stupid. God created the world. He didn't create the world. And Rabbi Akiva says, oh yeah, he did. He says, oh no, he didn't. And Rabbi Akiva says, oh yeah, he did. Should I prove it to you? He goes, yeah. He goes, go to your father's grave. That's what he says to him. Why don't you go to your father's grave? Your father's grave is going to prove to you that there's such a thing that God keeps Shabbos, right? Right? And even the people in hell keep Shabbos. Where do you see this? He goes to his grave, and there's smoke coming out of his father's grave. Tons of smoke, and then comes Friday afternoon sunset, psh, the smoke stops. Saturday night, psh, the smoke starts again. So of course he's insulting, you know, because you're dumb, you're wicked father, and he's going to prove to you that there's a God. You see, look, he's burning in hell, but on Shabbos he's not, right? The Gemara says, an amazing story. It's a true story, the Gemara says, right? But what's fascinating and terrifying is that the Zohar says that that's only true. The fires of hell only shut down for Jews who kept Shabbos or Goyim. But for Jews who don't keep Shabbos. The Jews who desecrate Shabbos and don't make a Shabbat a day of celebration, but keep their worries and anxieties and do all the things that they... And do not recognize that God created the world and rested on Shabbat, right? So guess what? For the time that they violated on Shabbat, for them, the fire of Shabbat continues on again. Poor dudes. That's what the Zohar says twice. He says this, right? Scary. It's scary. You see, this is the Vishamru, like I said, Vishamru B'nai Yisrael. Lassos means Vishamu B'nai Yisrael Es HaShabbos. Lassos Es HaShabbos means to say the Jewish people create Shabbos. Means they create their Olam Haba. Shabbos is day in Olam Haba. They create the Yom Shikulo Shabbos. They create their portion in the next world. Right? If this world Shabbos is a taste of the beautiful next world, which is called Shabbos. Shabbos is the name. Is the name of Gan Eden. Is the name of Olam Haba. Right? Me'ein olam haba yom Shabbos menucha. Yom shekulo Shabbos. You see that? So we create Shabbos for ourselves. We create our olam haba by how we keep Shabbos in this world. Because they're microcosm of each other. Right? So we actually create our Shabbos in the next world. What it looks like, depending on how we celebrate Shabbos in this world. We celebrate Shabbos in a holy way, in a pure way. So that's what the next world looks beautiful. So that's our goal. That's our celebration. That's a celebration where we take Shabbos, and Hashem says, you should follow the Shabbos, you should keep the Shabbos, just like I do, right? And therefore, like I said, there's no worries. Leave it up to God. There's no worries on Shabbos, right? It kind of reminds you of the joke, you know, the guy who says, the guy who's terribly anxious all the time, terribly anxious, and everyone's like, why? You really should see someone, you know, see a professional who can help you out. So the guy finds his way to some crooked professional. He says, look, here's what we'll do. I'll do all your worrying for you. Okay, you just have to pay me $1,000 a week. The guy says, okay. He pays me $1,000. Okay, great. I'll pay you $1,000 a week. Right? Now I don't have to worry anymore. So he goes back to his friends, right? He goes back to his friends. He says, he's all happy and, you know, upbeat and optimistic. And his friends say, dude, what happened to you? You know, it's like all your anxiety is gone. He goes, yeah, I made an arrangement with this professional, you know. He worries for me. And it's perfect. You say, oh, how much do you have to pay? Oh, $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week? You don't have $1,000 a week. How are you gonna pay him? And the guy says, I don't know. I don't have to worry about that. Right? So that's the point. But here, in this case, it's actually true. God says, you actually don't have to worry about it. I really will take care of it. I'll worry about the whole thing. Right? It's the beginning of Parshas Vayakeh. We have to stop for today. But it's the beginning of Parshas Vayakeh where Chazal learned out from the Pesukim. That it's the way which Hashem, all the malachos, that were mandated for building the Mishkan, these are the malachos that you're not permitted to do on Shabbos. These creative actions, these acts which build, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Guess what? That is the exact things that you needed to do to build the Mishkan. That is what is usher on Shabbos. And of course the Gemara goes through, you learn Masechah Shabbos endlessly. The Gemara keeps on saying, oh, this is usher because, why is this usher on Shabbos? Because they did this to build the Mishkan. How did they do this to build the Mishkan? Oh, when they built the Mishkan, they did this or that or the other thing. I share this with this one. I told you this one. So, yeah. Writing, oh, they wrote on the boards, which the crushing have to be next to each other. Down the line, one after the next. But the Yerushalmi adds, and I think this is so beautiful. The Yerushalmi adds, and then, it's true. It's true. That's what we did to build the Mishkan. But it's also true that those are the creative actions. Those are the activities, the malachos, that Hashem did to build the world. When Hashem created the world, He created it by way of 39 creative physical actions, malachos. And that is what is prohibited for us to do on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, we are not busy, we're not concerned, we're not worried about building. We're not concerned, we're not worried about pushing forward and new projects and new, more work and more malacha. No, there are no malachas. The world, Hashem created the world. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's a perfect world. And therefore, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate having, hashlech al Hashem yahavecha. Just enjoying being in God's embrace. Enjoying, let God worry about it. Let God take care of it. And it reminds us, the Shabbos reminds us that in fact, we are actually not just guests of His on Shabbos. It's true. On Shabbos, He throws a party and we're guests at His party. But even the other days of the week, He reminds us that we're also guests in His world. Ki geirin v'toshavim atem imadi. Right? Ki li kal ha'aretz, as the pasuk says so beautifully in Parshas Bahar. Right? Ki geirin v'toshavim atem imadi. You are actually guests in my world. In my world always. I'm taking care. I'm always in charge. Right? But it's hard for us to remember that. On Shabbos, we stop and we're forced to think about that. And we'll close by describing how an artist closes. What's the last thing an artist does? Someone who's very good at creating things. What's the last thing the artist does when he finishes his beautiful painting? The last thing he does is he signs his name, right? He signs his name. This is what Hashem does. He creates the world. And then he sets down his signature. Shabbos is Hashem's signature. Right? As a day, this is a day of Shabbos Hayom Lashem, as the Pasuk says. Right? It's Hashem's signature as a day, and then actually as His name. The Zohar says that Shabbos is actually one of God's names. In fact, I know people, they don't even want to say the name Shabbos in the bathroom. I'm not kidding. Or you see sometimes printed in Israel, you'll see Shabbos with a dash, Beis with a dash, and then Tav. I'm telling you, if you see, they said, toilet tissues that you can buy in the store, it says Sha. It won't spell it. Because they say it's one of God's names. Because the Zohar says like that. You don't want to say God's name. So someone in the bathroom, they says, oh, how is Sha? I'm like, what? The guy's in the bathroom, you know? Yeah, he walks into the shower room. He goes, how is Sha? I'm like, Sha? What the heck is Shah? Like, wasn't that like the leader in Iran or something? You know, like, what does that do to anything? Shabbos. Shabbos is God's signature, right? In actual, the name, and in the world. And you know what? You sit Shalosh Shudas and you can feel it. This is actually a Shabbos Yom Hashem. This is a day of God, of godliness. A day of the divine. A day of a deeper measure of beauty and spirituality. I bless you with a good week. I bless you with a good weekend. I bless you with a good life. And I bless you with a great afterlife. Thanks for listening. Thank you.